All right, we'll start the top of Lamed Aleph and Lamed Aleph. Just a quick reminder, we had the Machlokas yesterday at the end of the daf with regards to Machzir Abeda. Right, that our Mishnah says Machzir Abeda To. So we had a Machlokas between Rav Asi and Rav Ami about who is restricted and when you can return an Abeda. Right, so one said that it's only when the Nechse Machzir Asurim al Balaveda, and that's when we say it's okay to return the item because he's returning his own item. I mean, it belongs to the person who lost it, and therefore, even though he's restricted from giving him hana, he's giving back his own items. He's not giving him any hana. Whereas the other way around, if it's the Balaveda who's restricted in giving hana to the one who's returning it, he can't return it because of Pruta de Rabbi Yosef. Right, the Pruta of Rabbi Yosef is that the fact that while he's Osik the mitzvah, he's potter from another mitzvah, that's Hana, right, he will be getting from the object, or return the object of the other individual. And the other one, the other Mandamra said, that doesn't matter. Either way, it can be returned. No matter who is restricted over here, he could return the Aveda. What about Pruta de Rabbi Yosef? He said, Pruta de Rabbi Yosef is low Shchiach. That's not common, because you have to be literally Osuk the Mitzvah. In order to be Potter Mitzvah, you literally have to be Osuk with the Aveda. And number two is you have to have an Ani approach you just in that moment that you're Osuk be Aveda. That's not Shchiach, and therefore we don't consider that to be Hana. So today, the Gemara, and I would say that this is shouldn't be a difficult Gemara, but it is because of the yourselves here. Right, so what we're going to do is we're going to just, to make life a little easier, we'll use the Ran's Girsa, okay? Instead of reading in the Gemara, we're going to use the Ran's Girsa, and then we'll explain two different ways to learn the Gemara. The Rush also brings two Girsos down, and the Ran brings two Girsos down. But it's difficult, and it makes a big difference in how you learn the Gemara, but we'll use the Ran's Girsa to simplify things, okay? So if you look at the top of Lamed Aleph and Aleph in the Ran himself, alright, we'll use that Girsa because it's the, so he says, not Makom Shinot Limaleschar, Tipo Hano Lehekdesh. So that's what our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that in a place where they pay people for returning Aveda, meaning that you get compensated if you, some sort of reward, a reward or compensation for the work missed in taking care of the Aveda, there the Hana must go to Hekdesh. Bishlama, the Manda Amar, that makes sense according to one who says, Bishinikse Machzir Asurin Al Bala Aveda. The only time that we're restricted here is when the Machzir, the returnee, is Asur. The returner makes his items or his hana is also to the Bala Veda, the one who lost his item. Right? About the Bala Veda, Surin Al Machzir, but whereas it's the one who lost the item, his stuff is restricted on the returner. Lo Mahadar, he does not return it. Hainu Diktani Mikom Shinogna Leschar, Tipo Hana Lehektish. That's why the hana must go to Hektish. Ella, but according to the Mandar Markel Nixe Balaveda Surin Al Maksir Nami Mahadar, that even when the person who lost the item, Hana, is restricted to the returner, right? Al Maksir Nami Mahadar, you're allowed to return it anyway. I might see Pol Hana Hekdish. Why should the Hana have to go to Hekdish?
So I understand. When the Nixe Machzir of Surin Al Balaveda, and he returns the Aveda.
Right.
Okay, so in theory, he's supposed to get a schar for returning the Aveda.
Right. So why can't he get it?
But big deal.
Right.
He should be able to get it.
Very good. Exactly.
Should or shouldn't?
Should. Why not? He's only his stuff is restricted to the Bala Veda, but he can get enough from the Bala Veda. He
that's
can
right.
accept the reward from the
so
Bala Veda.
So what does the Bishlama mean here?
Okay, so that's the question.
Yeah.
That's the Machlokas I've shown
it
here.
Backwards.
Right, exactly. So the Girsa in the Gemara is the other way. You see, the Girsa in the Gemara is not like the Ran, it's the other way around. Right, because it would, if you like me, if you think in your own head, right? Simply, it would think Bishlama is the other way, right? If you were Manda Martush Nisei Balaveda Surim Maksir Nami Mahadir, and you tell him Mokum Shnodim Aleskar Tipol Hanal Hekdesh, right? That if you return it either way, then it makes sense. So the way you're reading it, it makes the simplest sense to. And when I read the Gemara, I just read the Gemara through, and I said, oh, you know, that makes more sense because if the stuff of the Balaveda is restricted on the Balamachzir, right? Then he can't take the reward. So the reward should go to Hekdesh, right?
And it shouldn't say that he has to return it.
Right. What?
Then it shouldn't say that he has to return it. He does return it, but we're
good. No, that's what it says. I'm saying not the Gersa Saran. The Gersa in our Gemara is that way. It's a simple way. So now the Ran's Gersa presents exactly what your problem is. So Ran says, Kaki Ikerak Gersa. Bahaki Perusho. Now he's going to bring two, you know what? He's going to do Perush, two big Perushin down, but I'm going to make it, we'll make it easier. We'll go to his Perush first. Alright, because then you'll have Pshat in the Gemara, and then we'll go back and discuss the other one. So if you skip down the Ran, all the way down to the first set of wide lines in the Ran, the third line down. So you see, it says, Kach Perushu Perushu Rebutai?
Velinira.
Okay, this is the way he explains it. So now, what the major issues, and I'll point it out, the key development here is that the guy who's returning it is a rich guy. Okay, and he goes to pay the reward, the person who got his aveda back goes to pay him in reward. He says, no thanks. I don't need the money. I don't take the money. So he forgives the payment. So now, can the Bala Veda keep the money? Can the Bala Veda keep the money? He's just benefited him by having him not have to pay the reward. Now we're talking about, Nitzay Bala Veda is usur on the Machzir. The Nitzay Machzir usur on the Bala Veda. And therefore, he's giving him hanok by forgiving him the loans. That's it. Now let's read this in the Ran. The Linira. The Hoka Kikakikamar. A mighty pohan al Hekish. Yitin Scharo. Right? Bala Veda al Machzir. The Bala Veda, like you were asking, right, Tzvi? That's just let him pay the reward to the returner. And he, the next day, Bala Veda Surin al Machzir. Right, even if the next day Balaveda or Surma Lamaxia Vilhaki Mutarli Kakim and Ashkar. And the Ran says that even in the other way around, we were saying, right, it's a question, it should work the other way around. The Ran says when you pay for wages, wages are not Hanah. Meaning that we had that at the beginning of the parak, but we said that you can transact with somebody. If you're usher banal with someone, you can transact with them as long as the transaction doesn't go to your benefit. So this is a transaction. He returns the aveda, he pays him money for his lost wages. So why shouldn't he be able to get that? Even if the bal aveda restricts him from getting benefit, he should be able to get the money. Tahashas. Zvina, the Rami Alape, Amar Le'el, the Hanas Mokerhu, Kalolo Akeach. And this is the case above, or we've said in the beginning of the parak, that you're allowed to do this. Okay, you want to just skip down, let me skip. These are the Raya segments, four lines down. It says, Chol Ki Hai Gavna, about three lines from where we are. Chol Ki Hai Gavna, Afakav Da'atili Yatei Mimadir, Lo Mikre Ano. Anytime the guy's paying him, if you're paying him for an object, or you're paying him for services rendered, then that's compensation and not hana. Compensation is fine. You can, if you're usher by hana from someone, you can pay compensation. You can't get hana, which is you can't get it for free. Right? When they pay rewards, because what? He did not go to work. He was returning your avedas, he didn't go to work, so you're paying him for his lost wages. He's not getting enough. Balaveda cloud. He could have gone to work and got the money, or he can return you the veda and get the money. You're not doing anything to benefit. We came to gain a mighty bull and all that dish. How much balaveda the mitzvah the maxir? Can you leave enough on him? All right. So you see the way it's run. Ran says that when the Balaveda is usher, the Balaveda says, my stuff is usher to you, the Machzir, then Ran says there's no problem with the Skar, because he can pay the reward. The only problem with the reward is the other way around. When the issue of the Bala Machzir, when the returner of the property is restricted from giving benefit to the Balaveda, and the Balaveda goes to pay him Skar, and he says, no thanks. And now you run into a problem where he's giving Hanah to the Baal HaVeda. So that's where the Gemara works. So the Gemara is saying like this, Bishlama, the opposite of what we thought. Again, the opposite of how we would have read the Gemara.
So you're going back up on top of
it. Yeah, I'm just reviewing it so that we know how it works, right? So Bishlama, according to the one who says, when the Nitzay Machzir are asur to the Baal HaVeda, that he's allowed to return it. Why? Because he's returning the Baal HaVeda's item. So Bishlam, in that case, the Mishnah says, Tipol Hanala Hekdish. Then in that instance, what? Hanala goes to Hekdish. Why? Because what is he going to do? He's going to go return the item, and he will say to the Balaveda, he'll say, oh, let me give you your payment. He says, look, I'm a rich guy. It's not Lafik Vodi. I don't want to accept the payment. So what's the Balaveda going to do? He's going to keep the money. He keeps the money. He's getting Hanala from the returner. He gets an off from the returner. That's restricted. So then we say, don't keep the money. Pay it to Hekdesh. But according to the one who says that they're restricted, even when they're restricted either way, right, then you still return it. That means even in the case where the Baal Aveda restricts the returner in his hana, the Baal Aveda says, you can't get any hana from me, comes and returns it, the Mishnah says, tibal hana l'hekdesh. Why? Let the Baal Aveda pay the schar to the matzir. It's not a problem. That's what the Rambam points out. It's just paying wages. It's paying a salary. It's compensation for something he did. It's not hana. Let him pay it. So why should we keep going on the hekdesh? And that's the Gemara's question. Okay, that's how the Rambam explains the Gemara's question. It only works. Tipo hana hekdesh only makes sense according to the one who says you only can return it when the hana is restricted from the machzir to the Baal Aveda.
So how do you read the Gemara here?
All right, you ready? You want to read it again? All right, Bishlamo, we'll read it again.
All the way through.
Yeah, okay, we'll read it. Sorry, Malcolm Shnotim Alaskar, Tibol and Alehekdish. That's the line in the Mishnah that we're questioning. Bishlamo Lamanda Amar, Bishinikse Maxir, Asurin Al Balaveda. Could, according to the one who says, when your Maxir, the Minikse Maxir, the returner's possessions are ushered to the Balaveda, then he can return it. About the Baal Aveda, Asurim Al Maxir, but when the
So the Bishlamo over there is because then when he declines the
payment, right.
He's giving Hana to the Baal Aveda,
exactly.
And that's why he has to keep all the heck.
Exactly, very good. Okay. About the Baal Aveda, Asurim Al Maxir, but if the Baal Aveda restricts his property and the Maxir, lo mahadir, in that case you don't give back, it's a proof to the Rabbi Yosef, you don't give it back. Then we can understand that refers to the first case, because the only case mentioned in the Mishnah is the case where you do return it. It says Machzir Aveda Toh in our Mishnah. What's the case of Machzir Aveda Toh? That's the case, only the first case, where the Nixe Machzir are Usur to the Baal Aveda. That's the case in the Mishnah. Right? The second case is not relevant to the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says Machzir Aveda Toh. Even when the Nixay Balaveda are assuring to the Maxir, Nami Mahadir, a mighty Bohanol Hekdesh. Why should not go to Hekdesh? He's just paying wages. He's paying. The Balaveda is compensating the returner for what he did. So he can accept the money. That's not Hana.
I don't understand.
But you don't understand that second, the last line?
I don't understand the line before that.
Okay, which line?
I also thought the line before that. About the Balaveda assuring in the case. Where the Baal Aveda
is Lo
Mahadir, you don't return it.
Because of Prut to the Rabbi Yosef. You're going to get the benefit of Prut to the Rabbi Yosef, so therefore you can't return his item.
Yeah.
So because you're getting benefit from the Baal Aveda. So that means that that's not the case in our Mishnah. That's not the case. In the case of our Mishnah, it says Maxir Aveda Toh. So that's not included in our Mishnah. So the only case included in our Mishnah is the first case. Right? So that makes sense. That's Yipohano the Hekdesh.
So what does it mean? Hainu Diktani.
In the Mishnah, Mokum Shnotim Aleskar, in a place where they pay money, Yipohano the Hekdesh. Why does Yipohano the Hekdesh? Because he can't accept the forgiven wages. He can't give the forgiven wages.
He doesn't return it.
What? We just flipped.
You said he doesn't return it.
No, but meaning that, yeah, he doesn't. There are two cases. That month already has two cases. One where you do return it, and one where you don't return it. What does our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah says Maxir Aveda Toh. So which of those two cases is our Mishnah talking about? Must be talking about the first case where he can return it.
Right.
So what is the case where he can return it? That's when the Nifse Maxir are Asurim La Baal Aveda. So that's when...
Right, but the placement of the...
I agree. Yes.
Tipal and the Hekdesh seems to be in the wrong place over there.
That's not the Mishnah. He's just... Naran's explaining the two sides, and then he's saying, in the Mishnah, all the Mishnah says is Maxir Aveda Toh, and Tipal and the Hekdesh. So what is the case of Maxir Aveda Toh in the Mishnah? Is only that first case, where the Nifse Maxir are Asurim La Baal Aveda. In that case, we say Tipal Hana the Hekdesh. Skip, as if you skip. I'll read here, read it like this. It's not. Malcolm Shnelli Malestar, Tipo and Elhekdish. Bishlam
of. Is the payment?
The payment or the forgiveness of the payment. Here's the forgiveness of the payment.
And this is according to the rounds, the forgiveness of the payment?
Yeah, depending which side, but yes.
It's all payment.
Yeah, it's the payment or the forgiveness of the payment.
It's a return, yeah.
Here, read this like this. Skip on. Tanan, Malcolm Shnelli Malestar, Tipo and Elhekdish, Bishlam of Mandamar, Nixay Maxir, Surin Al Balaveda. So then, in that case, then he's Maxir. Yeah, strip down. Hainu, the tiny mikom shnelim scarlet, tibol and alahekdesh. That's how you read it. Okay? That other thing's a bracket.
Parenthetical.
That's the case you don't return it, so it's not relevant to the Mishnah. Okay? So it makes sense? And then the other guy who says goes both ways, he can't come up a case with where you return it in both situations that, what? That you'll tibol and alahekdesh. So what's the Gemara's answer? If you look in the Gemara's answer is, a mitzvah alahekdesh, akhadak tani. The answer from it is that Tifon El Hekdesh is only referring to one of the two cases where you're Machzir Aveda Toh. Because that's exactly what it is. Only one of the two cases is irrelevant to say Tifon El Hekdesh. And therefore, what do we say? He's saying that only when the Mishnah says Tifon El Hekdesh, it's not going to both cases where you return it. It only goes on the one case where the Nifse Machzir are Surin of the Baal Aveda.
What's the Gemara's Kasha again?
Gemara's Kasha is according to the one who says that even when the Nifse Baal Aveda are a Surin of the returner, then you still return it. Okay?
You should be able to still return it. Why?
No, because there's no... Tuta Rabbi Yosef is not Shkia. That's right.
No, and then you'd like to return it. There's no way to return it. It's a benefit that's not...
Right, but he's saying it's close to Shkia, and therefore you can do it. You can return it. According to that, Mandama says you can return it even with Tuta Rabbi Yosef.
The second Mandama, right?
He says you can return it even with Tuta Rabbi Yosef. Now, what is Tipo Hanal the Hekdesh? How do you explain that line in the Mishnah according to that case? Right? That case in the Mishnah, what do you need to do? You're going to pay him a reward? He's allowed to get the reward. Even though he's restricted in getting an offer from him, the Ran says compensation is not hana. Buying something is not hana. So how do you explain, how is he going to explain that Mishnah says Machzir Aveda Toh? According to that opinion, that means even when the Baal Aveda is asserted to the Machzir or the Machzir is asserted to the Aveda, either way, doesn't matter which way you're going, either way, it's usher in the Mishnah. Okay? I mean, it's mutter to return the Aveda in either case. So therefore, what is Tipo Hanal Hekdesh? You can't come up with a case, Tipo Hanal Hekdesh, or the Baal Aveda is usher to the Machzir.
So when the Baal Aveda stuff is usher on the
Machzir,
so we're not worried about that.
We're not worried, but let him pay the reward. It's compensation, not Hano. So why should it be Tipo Hanal Hekdesh?
And
if you say he forgives it, he's allowed to forgive it. He can get Hano from the Machzir. That's not a problem. The problem is that the Baal Aveda is giving Hanoah to the returner. The Baal Machzir can give Hanoah to the Baal Aveda.
When we say the other way, when we say that Machzir stuff is usur
on the Baal Aveda, the problem is then is when he forgives the reward, that is Hanoah, because he really is obligated to pay the reward, and when he forgives him for the reward, he's giving him benefit by not asking him to pay for the reward.
Okay, so then Tipo Hanal Hekdesh.
So that case makes sense. That's the case where it makes sense. But the other case, it doesn't make sense. So according to the Mandamar, that there's only one case in the Mishnah, which is the case when the Baal Machzir stuff is also to the Baal Aveda, then the Mishnah makes sense. The Mishnah reads easily. According to the one who says that you can be returned in either instance, no matter which way it's written, then you can't come up with a case of Tipo Hanal Hekdesh for the second case, the case where the stuff of the Baal Aveda is also on the Baal Machzir. We good? It's close? Somewhat. Alright, so then the Gemara's answer is... So the Gemara's answer is basically, even according to one who says that you can return it in both instances, the Tula and Alhekdesh is only going on one case, Ahadat Tani. It's only going on the one case, the same case that the other Mandamar says, which is when the Nifse Baal Machzir Usur, the returner stuff is restricted to the Baal Aveda, and you can't forgive it. That's when time to Baal Aveda. But in the other case, it won't be a problem.
It might be Baal Aveda because it's not Hanah that he's giving him.
Right.
It's
wages.
Hence for his
exactly.
And the flip side, that's the Afil.
Right.
Whereas the other way, if the Nifse Machzir
are restricted to the Baal Aveda. So he could get reward, but the problem is when he forgives the reward.
And there's a monster, there's no problem to give him the reward because there's no
restriction
there. And if he forgives the reward,
then he's benefiting the Baal Aveda, and the Baal Aveda is not allowed to get Hanoah from the master.
And then he could still return it because we just say people
Hanoah. Right. All right, good. Alright, so that's the Gemara. I see that it's tough enough this way, so I'm not gonna go ahead and read it. I mean, there are other solutions. Rashi. There are other solutions. Some of the Rishonim, like the Rush, and others point, or Tosfos talk about the fact that Bishlam, that it's usher both ways. It's not going from Man to Amar that they're both restricted to each other. They come up with this made up case where each one is restricted to the other, and that's probably why can you return it in that case versus when it's only restricted on one side. The Rashi comes up with a different case. I mean, you don't have to keep this in your head. This is not, I'm just giving you that there are other opinions out there that they talk about, again, that it depends on who's forgiving which side. Right, I gave you the Ran. His girsa is the easiest girsa to work with now. Even though, again, when you first read the Gemara, the girsa seems to have been the other way. you're saying because it has to do with the forgiveness of the loan versus paying wages. And that's the symbol. That's all you have to remember. All right? Now, just to confuse things. We're back in the Gemara. So we set up the machlokes between Ravami and Ravasi about when you can return it. Now, the Gemara is going to give another interpretation of Ravami. One of them says, "What you can return it in a case where the balaveda stuff is the person whose thing was lost is his stuff is restricted to the returner, right? Then you can give it back because Kudz Rav Yosef is not shchiyah. Aval mitzvah makser surim al balaveda, but if the returner stuff is restricted to the balaveda, lo mahadilei mishum to kamahanilei. Can't return it because you're giving him benefit. By returning his object, you are giving him benefit. Now above we said that he could return in that case because he's returning his own item." Yeah, in this way, the Gemara is reading it, even though it's his own item that he's returning, he's still benefiting him. Because had he not returned it, who says he would have gotten it back? Even though he's returning his own item, he's still benefiting him by actually reuniting him with his object. Even when the Nixon Maxir Surin of Balaveda, Mutar. Then it's Mutar. The Kamenar Blame, he didn't actually commodulate, like we said above. That when he's returning it, he's returning his own item, and that's not considered an off. He didn't return it, someone else would have done the job.
Even if there's another, it's not the Chassan that's giving him. Well, it is, but Nifzeh Balaveda means
that anything. He can't get any Hanoah from the returner. And returning. Anything he does, any Hanoah from him. Alright? So that's it. So this is the opposite of our logic above. It's the opposite of the logic that we used before for Rabbi Masi. So it's not. Now the Gemara's going to ask the question again. It's not. Malkum shnotin ala skar tipol an ala hektis. Bishlamo, that makes sense. According to Lamanda Amar, filu bishin nifse maksir asurin al balaveda. When even the nifse maksir asurin al balaveda, mahadir, hainu, the mitari it's malkum. And that's what makes sense, that you have a muckle. Because why? Where's the case that you're going to have a problem? The only case where you're going to have a problem is you have to be tibol on all the hekdesh is in a case where the nifsei maksir are restricted to the bala aveda. That's according to the second opinion, it says you return it in either instance. El gamanda amar, which nifsei maksir are suing lo mahader, in a case where the returner's items are restricted to the bala aveda, you're not allowed to return it. Heicha mitaritz makom. How do you explain that line in the Mishnah that makom shemakav askar it tipol hanal the hektish? There's no such case. There's never a case where when the nifsei maksir are asurin to the balaveda, you don't return it. So there is no such case where you're going to come into such a restriction where you're going to have tipol hanal the hektish, and therefore kasha. Therefore you lose it as a kasha. So as opposed to above, in the first instance where we read it, both Manda Amrim had a case where the next day Maxir is surrendered to the Balaveda and you return it, because they both agreed in that case that you return it. The only case was the opposite. So therefore, both of them can say, that's the case the Mishnah is referring to. And the problem is, in this explanation, we're saying there's a case where next day Maxir is returning to be restricted to the Balaveda, and yet you don't return it, according to one Manda Amrim. If you don't return it, then what's the case of Tipol on Alekdesh in our Mishnah?
And obviously you're assuming that the case of Tipol on Alekdesh is referring to when the Machzir is saying, no, I don't need
to. Exactly, right. No, I don't want the reward, right. Exactly. So that's it. So he can't, now he doesn't have the solution of saying Chadakhtani because the other case doesn't work. And that's the only case that he has of returning, and therefore he can't say Tipol on Alekdesh. Right, so that's the conclusion of the Gemara. How do we paskin? This, I think, an interesting round.
But there's no conclusion. It's a question.
Right. How do we paskin? So that's it. We have two lishonos. Number one, we have two lishonos. And we have a question on the two lishonos. So Linyan Halacha. Look, two, four lines down from the bottom of the round. Linyan Halacha. Linyan Halacha, kind one. We say, Ben Mishnechse Maxir Surna Balaveda, Ben Mishnechse Balaveda Surna Maxir Mahader. You return it in either case. Why? In our case here, in the second Lashon, the one who says you can't return it, we have a major kasha from the Mishnah on it, and we don't have an answer to that question. So that means he doesn't work. But what about in the first case? But in the first case of our Mishnah, where he says the Balaveda is a Surin al-Makhsir, lo mahadir lo itotav, the Adarabah, actually the day Masis and Tvei Shapir, the Mishnah goes better according to the one who says that only when the Nixay Balaveda Asurim Alabala Maxer does he Nixay Maxer or Tipol and Alhakish. Yulaki came in the high Lishon of Batrahu, since this is the second Lashon, Haksvara, then Nixay Maxer Surim, then Nixay Balaveda Asurim Hadar It Amra Vitarti Lishon, is mentioned in both Lishonos. Kavate Natina, Kavate Ramamo. So see how the Ram learns that what? So which one's the Ikra Lashon? The Ikra Lashon we usually say is the Lashon of Batra. Right? The later Lashon is the more Ikra. In the later Lashon, one of the positions is knocked off. Which is the one that's knocked off? The one who says that when the next day Maxir are surrendered to the Lavader, you don't return it. He was knocked off. So which opinion stands? The opinion that says you return it in either instant. So the Ram says, first of all, when you return it in either instant, that's the one we kept in the Lashon of Batra. Number two, is that position is also mentioned in Lishne Kama. There's a position in Lishne Kama says you can return it in either instance. So now you have that Lashon in both, you have that position in both the Shonos, and it works better in the second Lashon. So because of that, we're going to Paskin like that Lashon, even though that Lashon is more difficult than the first Lashon, right? The way we said in the Ron's question, the Gemara who asked the question in the first, according to the first Lashon, asked the question of the one who says you can return it in either direction. His answer was Chadakan. It only refers to one side of the vowel. But the fact that he can answer the question already gives us the green light to say we can Paskin like him. Alright? We're good? Can we turn the page? We're good? Alright, if you thought that was easy, here we go again. Another major Girsa, difficult to read Gemara again, right? That's right, you know, you see a small Gemara like this, you think, ah, you know, 5 minutes, we'll be out of here. This is comes up to be a major Machlokas Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara, but we'll try. Alright, the first problem we have to deal with is the next statement in the Gemara, what's it doing here? Alright? Amar Rava, Haik Lefanav Kikar Shal Hefker. There's a bloak of Hefker that's sitting in front of him, Va'amar Kikazu Hektish. He says, this Kikar is Hektish. Not Lava Okhla, picks it up to eat it. Ma'al with Fikulo. Then he is Moel. What's Moel? Moel is someone who gets benefit from Hekdesh. He takes something out of the possession of Hekdesh. Then he's Moel all of it, and he has to pay to Hekdesh the full amount of the loaf. Lo Risha Levanav, if he wants to pick it up, not to eat it, but rather to give it to his children as a Yerusha, Ma'al with Fitolas and Ashabat. The Me'ilo that he has to pay Hekdesh is according to, excuse me, how much benefit he would get. Meaning that he's not getting benefit, he's not keeping, he's giving it to his children. How much? That's a gift. When you give a gift, there's something called Tovas Hanot. Because his children will thank him or, you know, be friendlier or more loving towards him. That's Tovas Hanot. So that's the Mi'ila that he did here. He's not going to get any Mi'ila. He didn't do any Mi'ila to the object. He just did a Mi'ila in the sense that he got benefit by giving it over to his children. Alright.
Benefit even though it's English. Is there benefit
to
his kids?
Right, well, that's the question. So what happens when his kids get benefit from it now? They go ahead and use it.
Is there any benefit? Something, right. Obviously there's zero benefit, his kids are going to look at it and say, we can't
use it. They don't, or they'll just use it anyway. Then they will get benefit from it. Then they may have to pay for the meal. Right, so that's a good question. All right, so let's deal with the issues here in the statement of Rava. The first question is, what's it doing here? Okay? So you have to leave that alone.
Okay, sure that is.
They have Hekdesh. We're talking about Hekdesh here, which is irrelevant to Nidara. So I just say that's why the first question here is, why is it even here? Right, that's harder to answer. Although, of the Ron, the simple sense is that it sounds similar to the case we're going to have after this. It seems similar. It's not exactly the same, but it seems similar to the case afterwards. But in general, it doesn't seem like it belongs here. All right, that's the first. Second problem is, how did he make it Hekdesh? Alright, that's a problem here. How does he actually get the object to be Hekdesh? One. And then how does he remove it from the possession of Hekdesh? Right? So if you say, well, this is the way Rashi learns is that he actually picked it up. Right? That he has to pick up the object. In order to make something Hekdesh, it has to be in your possession. You can't make something that's Hefker into Hekdesh. It's not yours to make Hekdesh. Part of the ability to make something Hekdesh is balas. You have to have balas over it. You have to have ownership over it. So the only way to get ownership over it, according to Rashi, is he must have picked it up first. So if he picks it up first, then what? Then he's makdish it. If he's makdish it, now, how does he take it out of Hekdesh's possession? By saying that I'm going to eat the whole thing?
Pud.
Right? No, you can't. Right. I mean, if you're Pud, you can get out of it. But he's now going to, they're charging with Me'ilah. Then he got benefit from Hekdesh. The only way to get benefit from Hekdesh would be charged with Me'ilah is if you take it out of the possession of Hekdesh. How's he removing it from the possession of Hekdesh? It's in his hand, and it's still in his hand. After he says, I will eat it, it's still in his hand. Nothing's changed. He's still in Hekdesh's possession, and he's, right, he was a gizbar, equivalent of a gizbar. He was the treasurer of Hekdesh because he was holding it for Hekdesh. And then he goes in and says, I'm going to eat it. He didn't change the status of the object at all. So what does Rashi do? Rashi says that he ate it. Not that he said he would eat it, he eats it. And even though Argumar says that, not lo bi'okhla, to eat it, Rashi says bi'okhla, he ate it. So that's the way Rashi solves the problem. Rashi suggests here that he actually picked it up. That's how he gets Baal Sober to make it Hekdesh. Once he has a Baal Sober Hekdesh, his saying that I'm going to eat it has no bearing on the object. The only question is if he eats it. If he eats it, now he's going to be chayav for all of it because he got an off from the full amount of the loaf. Versus if he gives it to his children, then it's going out of the Hekdesh possession because he's now handing it to his children. They get a kinyan on it. It leaves Hekdesh's possession. When it leaves Hekdesh's possession, he's now getting benefit. What's the benefit? That he gave a gift to his kids. That's what he has to repay. That's the mila. That's what Rashi explains the Gemara. Right? Other Rishonim have the Rosh, Tosos brings down a problem, the Ran, all bring down this problem of how does he get possession over it. Once he's taken it into his possession, and if you read the Gemara on its face value, which is that not ma'li'okhla, he was going to eat it, not that he ate it, but he took it in order to eat it, how does it work? So they all come up with situations where you're going to be able to be maktish hekdesh, something hefker, even though it's not in your possession. And how is that? So they come up with different ideas to do this. One is, we know that there's a general principle that something within Dalet Amos, that a person, Dalet Amos shall adam koneh, that the Dalet Amos of a person are koneh for him automatically. Anything within your Dalet Amos, as long as there's not a competing interest for that object, your Dalet Amos are koneh. Okay? So now what do we say? The Dalet Amos are koneh for you. So you're within the four Amos of this hefker, and you're makdashu. But now we run into the same problem. If your Dalet Amos are koneh, it's now in your possession. It's in your possession, you mock the shit, then when you say I'm going to eat it, you haven't done anything. So what do they have to say? It's actually a Gemara in Maestros, Maestro Ani, that we say that Dalet Amos are koneh for an ani that goes into the field to pick up peya. His Dalet Amos are koneh, what's around him, for him. If he goes ahead and lies down on it, he jumps on it and lies down and says, this is all mine, right? Then the Gemara says that the Dalet Amos are not koneh. Why not? Because he didn't use it. He could have used Dalet Amos to be koneh. The fact that he went and laid it down on top of it means that you know that's not what he's thinking. He's not thinking my Dalet Amos are koneh. He's thinking that whatever I laid down on top of is mine. So do over here. When he is makdish it, he's saying, I don't want my Dalet Amos to be koneh, right? But I have enough vowels because I'm within Dalet Amos. I have enough control over the object to be makdish it, but I don't want it to come into my possession. I want it to go into Hekdesh's possession. Ah, if an Hekdesh's possession was never in his possession, then when he goes to take it, well, Chla, he's trying to remove it from the possession of Hekdesh and bring it into his own possession. That change of possession is what creates the Mi'ila.
According to that story, it shouldn't work.
Why shouldn't it work?
Because when the Ani lies down and says,
I don't want it, he's not calling it. Right, oh, very good. So maybe Hekdesh, and this is what you have to say, is that Hekdesh, you don't need to have, Balus doesn't necessarily mean like we think of Balus, that you can control it. It means the ability to control it. Right? Not that you have to be within an area that you could have made a kinyan on it. The fact that you could have made a kinyan on it really gives you enough balance to make it Hekdesh. And where do we see that? You have these cases also. What? When I will buy it in the future, I will be makdishin. Since I could be makdishin now, therefore in the future when I will buy it, I could be makdishin as well. So this idea that by being within Talat Amos of it, that you could do it, therefore, that's enough to be makdishin. Okay, so that's, and then the ferret for when you try to eat it, or you take it, then you're going to, okay, therefore, it is, okay, now the Tosas and all these other, the people ask that it's makdish davashe boliolo, that you're being makdish something that's not in the world because it's not in your possession yet. So how do they deal it with exactly the answers that we're given so far, that what, once you're in a position where you can control it, therefore, it's enough. Or the Sitosa says here, he says either what Mari Matov Dal Amutav, Aramadav Solo Konalo, or Inami Kemish should be other this kotva. Since his ability to take it, Shukarov Mimenu, you'll tell there's nobody near him. Shemadam Avi Khoshim Shapir Dabra Baliolam. It's already within his realm. Since he could have taken possession of him, it's already within his sphere, and therefore it's something that's within his possession, he can be makdashit. Okay, so then those opinions, right? So they haven't come up. The difficulty in the Gemara, according to Rashi, the difficulty in the Gemara is that it's easy for him to make it Hekdesh because it's in his possession. The hard thing is how does he create the Mi'ila? That he takes it out of Hekdesh's possession. So Rashi has to say he ate it instead of saying that he wanted to eat it. Right? The other Rishonim want to keep the fact that he just said, I want to eat it. So what is their problem? How did he make it Hekdesh without it coming into his possession? How did he do that? So they have to come up with these ideas. It's either within Dalet Amos, right, or because it's close enough to him and nobody else is going to take it, that's within his sphere of influence. And since it's within his sphere of influence, he can make it Hekdesh even though it's not in his possession. So So that's how they answer the issue. Okay? So that's the first proposition for now. Now, next line in the Gemara. Baimene Rav Kirbab and Mirova. Kikari Alecha. And he says, my kikar is asur to you, but not nalo mematano. And then he goes to give it to him as a gift. He says, this kikar is asur to you, and then he gives it to him as a gift. Mahut. Right? So when he says kikari alecha, what does it mean? Kikari, amarlo, my kikar, ki itibir shutehu da asur. That's when it's in my possession. When I give it to you a gift, it's now yours, and therefore it's not my kikar, and you should be able to get benefit from it. Oh, dilma alecha amar. Alright, I say he's Amarle, that Eloi should be the Hekdesh. Meaning that Alecha is the dictating thing, and Alecha means that it's like Hekdesh to you, which means it doesn't matter in whose possession it is. Right, so the Gemara wants to know, when I say Kikari Alecha, which is the Ikar, right, and which is the Tafel? Is the Kikari driving the force here? It's my Kikar, as long as it's in my possession. It's a problem, but as soon as it leaves my possession, it's not a problem. And if I give it to you as a gift, now you're okay. Or is the alecha part, the kikar, meaning that alecha means that this loaf is restricted to you forever, and kikari, it just happens to be my kikar right now. But even when it's someone else's kikar, right, it will also be restricted. So the Gemara says, Amale Pshita. It says, simple. Apagav the Adaleva Matano Asur. Of course, even if he gives it to him as a gift, it is Asur. Ella kikari alecha lafuke mai. If that's the case, when he says kikari alecha, what is he coming to exclude? I mean, the fact that he said kikari, what does that mean? Why doesn't he just say kikar? Why doesn't he say kikar alecha, right? Why doesn't he just say kikar stam? So that kikari, by using the possessive form, he was trying to do something. What did he do? What action did he do by saying kikari that changed the status here? So my love. So now this is the way to read this Gemara. I'll read it the simplest way first, and then we'll deal with the other Rishonim. My love, lafuke di inganva minei mignav. As I read, the simplest way is this: that if it got stolen, meaning that not that it was right given as a gift, right? Not that the person who was receiving that stole it, but a third party stole it. Okay, a third party stole it, and then the third party goes to give it as a gift now to the person who's restricted. So when he said kikari alecha, it was the understanding that what? Only when it was still within the realm of my possession, meaning that the gifting to you is only when I still had control over it, and that would be a problem whether I gift it to you, whether I, you know, if I do anything I do with it would be a problem for you. But if it's stolen from your possession, right? Once it's stolen from your possession, the ganav now has it. And once the ganav has it, you never had in mind to give it. In that case, that's not what you had in mind. You didn't expect that to happen. And therefore, you didn't have that in mind. It should be mutar. Mar says, "Afuki the ganav mignav." I'm like, "Lo." Mar says, "No, that's not the case." Afuki diaz amneale. If the case where he invited him over to eat, right? So what you would think, what when he invites him over to eat, and then he restricts him in anah. When you invite someone over in to eat, he already took possession. He gets a portion of the food. And therefore, when you restrict him in the kikar, right, this is the way Rashi reads it, then you can still eat from it because it's not kikari. It's not just my loaf. And when I invited you to come over and share, say, I said, here's this loaf of bread. I said, come over and eat with me this loaf of bread. Then you've almost, in a sense, taken ownership of a portion of that bread, because I already invited you to come over. Then when I say kikari alecha, my portion, that's only my half the kikar, not your half the kikar. That's the way Rashi reads it. Now, the other Rishonim are going to point out the problem with the way Rashi reads this Gemara. The one is, what? Mignav ganiv, why does the stealing of the loaf do anything? Right, because what? When an object is stolen, is it still in your possession? If you didn't have the eush, the answer is yes. Right, if you didn't give up on the object, it's still in your possession.
Unless there's a shinui.
What? No, but you need shinui shus and yeush, right?
To no, have but it. Also the ganav can do something to it.
Well, if there's a shinui in the object itself, right, then if the kanas merish, he doesn't have to return it. That's a kanas kachamim, but technically he should have to restore it and return it, right? So it's really, the object is still technically in your possession. The kachamim at takana, that once he makes a shinui in the object, that we allow him to pay the money instead of the object, right? Over there, but again, shinui in the object will only help, or shinui rishus will help when there's yeush. If there's no yeush, it's not kani. At least, right, that yeush. So now, when he steals it, it's still in his possession, so why should kikari alecha do anything? I mean, it's still my kikar, and my restricting it. Why should the guy giving you a gift to do anything? He's giving you my object. He stole something from me, and then he's giving you my object, so it's still going to be restricted. So the way those Rishonim learn the Gemara is like this, that the Gemara is tema, it's a bitmia. Like this, the Gemara reads like this, Pshita apel gebleibim atana tasur, ela kikiarech ala fuke mai. The Gemara says that's exclude what? Lava fuke, the Gemara mignov? You're going to suggest that it's good to exclude a case where he steals it? Where he steals it, now all the other Rishonim, not like Rashi, don't say a third party stole it, is where he stole it himself. The guy who was restricted by Noah goes and steals it. Right? Say, oh, in that type of case, he's going to be mutter to eat it. Just because he stole it, that's going to make him mutter to eat it. Someone says, no, in the case where he invites him over. So what's the case if he invites him over? So that's two cases. The Rosh Hashanah invites him over, says that he restricted him this kikar. He has 10 loaves of bread. It says kikari alecha. The kikari means that only this loaf of bread, and not all the loaves of bread that he invited him over for. That's what kikari helps. Then in case he invites him over, it's simply this kikar, but not the other kikarot that are there. The Ran learns that, no, that the problem is that okay, so here, even in a case where he invites him over, then it's still kikari, and it'd still be restricted to him. It's the opposite of the way Rashi learns. Okay? So here, I'll read through the Gemara the way the other Rishonim learned it, and that we'll get. So here. So now, what does he say? So the Gemara says, Armalei Pshita. So the Gemara says, he answers back, simple. Even if he gives him to him as a gift, it's a tsur, because alecha is the thing that dictates here. So now, elecha kari alecha la fuke mai. What's the kikari do? Meaning that the possessive form of kikari, what does that do? So where it says, my love, la fuke, jiganva, minei, mignov? Oh, you're gonna say, what? Kikari is so that, well, it's in my possession. If he steals it, it's not his possession, that should work? Where it says, that's, you can't say that that's the reason. Is that the reason that he said kikari? That doesn't make any sense.
Why?
What?
Why doesn't it make any sense?
Oh, because there's no yeus, right? There's no yeus, and it's still his kikari, so just as he stole it, doesn't change the status of kikari. That cannot be what he's talking about. Hello, what is he talking about? Hello, look at these amnele that he invited him over. So there, the Rosh and the Ran explain it differently. The Ran says, even when you invite him over, the kikar is still asur. Just because you invited him over doesn't change the status of this kikar, because it's kikari. Even when it's my kikar and I invite you over, that you're still restricted in it. Or the Rosh learns that even what? When you have kikari alecha, that means this kikar versus all the other kikarot that are there. If you have a large seven kikarot, I say kikari, just this one kikar, that's what you're restricted in when I invite you over, not in all the other kikarot that are around. That's how kikari helps you. I mean, that's the lesson. Kikari helps you not restrict you in all loaves of bread, but simply in this loaf of bread.
That's a kikari, right?
It's a right. I figured
kazoo.
Right.
What is
kikar zu you can't use, because that's what the Bisham say, that if you said kikar zu, it's clear that he can't give it to it as a gift. Because we had that earlier in the Gemara. You remember when the guy restricts him in Anoah and he has no money, or in the desert, and he wants to give him food. There the Gemara says he can't give him matzah directly, he has to give it to a third party, or he has to put it, make it hefker. There the Gemara said, kikar zeh alecha. If he says zeh, there's no question he can't give a gift. The question was here, he didn't say zeh. He says, kikari alayach. And that was why there was a problem. He didn't say zeh, he said kikari alayach, and that's what the Gemara wants to know, which lashon dictates. So there's a case, if you can't, that's why. If he said zeh, we know the answer is. Alright. So that,
in the case we gave it a matana.
Right.
That really takes care of the problem of when he says it's usur?
No, he can't give it as matana. That's the problem.
He says kikari, then why does it restrict all his loaves?
Right. I mean, that's what you're saying, but here he says, So he says, im is mino lecholimo. It's in the Rush, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines from the bottom of the Rush. This is a dot there. Im is mino lecholimo. If you invited him over to eat with him, you see that? Yeah, she may have been low, but yeah, kikar munach lifneiam. And there were bread on the table, a shulchan, v'amar, kikari alecha. V'amar, kikar, if he had just said a kikar, v'amashva kolek kikarot, so v'abayit. So hani, ha'damar kikari, tafkar kikar shlifneiam asur alav. So only that loaf that's on the table, and not every loaf of bread that's in the house. I hear what you're saying, I definitely hear what you're saying.
How did the Ran say it? Who was the Ran shot?
The Ran's pshat is that even when you invite him over, the kikar is still a sur. I mean, that does not override it. If you look in the last
What's
one...
What's the point of using this lesson?
Of kikari?
Yeah.
But they teach you that even when he invites him over, it's still considered kikari, and it's going to be...
When invites who over?
When the person restricted the other in Hana from his bread.
So you might think you're going to eat my bread when you invite me over.
I mean, that's overriding.
Correct.
Why would I think that?
No.
Why would I...
Not when you invite me over, when I invite you over.
No, when you invite me over.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here, so look at the last two lines in the Ran. It's the last two lines in the Ran.
And if he doesn't say kikari, then it can't eat it.
No, there it's definitely not.
What's the habit? No, so the kikari doesn't add anything.
Right. I mean, that even in that instance,
if
right?
You
right. So look at the last line of the Ran. Amar lei elakugi nizam ne lakomar the olam emel chadi yad lei b'matana shar yedlei. I would have thought if he gave it as a gift, it's okay. But he amar lei alefka lafuki nizam ne elak. What's the case to exclude is where I invited him over. Titzel lei daishat anami kikaro. He still is kikar, but a gift would be okay because there's no gift. Kabash Milan, right? That it's still restricted even. Actually, the Ron's running, you could give a gift in the end. I take it back, right?
Right, that's what I thought. Yeah. You give a gift when you invite me over and you think when I bring stuff to your house you can eat it.
Right.
You can't eat my bread.
Right, exactly. Not, well, no, when
you come over to the Shabbos,
when you come over for the meal, you would think that when I say come over to my house, right, they won't be all sore, right, because I invited you. The fact that I invited you already means that I'm really not, you know, that it's not. I'm giving you a position, I'm giving you some of the kikar, whatever it is. There, the man says, no, because it's still kikaro. It's still the host's kikar. I'm like, the host's kikar to Moshe.
So it's when the madir invites the mudar.
Yes,
that's okay. Yeah, because it's a cloud that when you're at someone's house,
you get a possession of it, right? Of the food. So the man is saying, even that's what he said above with Rashi's pshat. And when I invite you, Rashi thinks that when I invite you over, you could eat it, because why the fact I invited over, give you a part of possession in the food. So once you have part of possession in the food, I can't restrict it. Right, then it's not a kikari. You have that possession, it's not kikari, and you can eat it. Right, but according to the Ran, I forgot that. The Ran learns in the end that's exactly right. The matana works. So because the exclusion of the kikari is the case where you invite him over, and that's the case that the kikari refers to.
Okay. So the original question is, well, when I give it as a present, so what's the sequence? The first case was...
According to the Ran?
According to...
You have to pick a Rishon here. No, it's a problem. The three Rishon, and they're all learning the Gemara differently, right?
So take this one for a second.
Right.
So I gave it as a present. So I make it first. I say it's Asher Barna. I say Kikari, you know, where you can use it. Then I give it as a Matana.
So that's the Gemara's query. Is that okay?
That's the Gemara's question. The question is, when I give it as a Matana, so maybe... So first of all, even just on that, how come I give it a Matana and not already breaking the nether?
Because I didn't say it was Asher Barna. I didn't restrict you from getting Hana from me. I can give you hana. I give you a gift.
That's what I said.
I said, keep Ariel, you can't get benefit from this bread. But that's when it's my bread. Now I give you as a gift. It's your bread. You can get benefit from it.
No. Oh, so I'm
my gifting of it is a hana that I'm giving you. I'm allowed to give you a hana. I can't give you this. You can't get a hana from this kikar when it's my kikar. My gift of it.
Or even if it, yeah, but according to the
I'm not saying the conclusion. It's the happening of the Gemara.
You're getting a hana by me giving you a
from what? What are you getting a hana from? It's a gift from me. That you're getting a hana from me. That you're allowed to get a hana from.
So you're not getting enough from the kikar because you're not eating.
Kikar's still there. It still exists.
So that was the first question. So we thought that, that would be allowed.
Right.
So, and then the proof is...
So the Gemara says, no, Pshita, you can't give a gift. So the Gemara says, okay, if you don't give a gift...
Because Alecha is the...
Alecha is the key word here.
Alecha is the key word.
Okay, so now they should learn differently. Now
the Ran says...
This is what we need kikari.
Right.
The Ran says the kikari...
Right here. It's right here. It's the case here. Kikari.
So the Ran says that kikari...
Can you ask a question?
Yeah.
So what's... So the answer is... So, he made the case he said kikari. Why was so...
No, we want to know what it means when a guy says
So if I understand correctly, the Ron is saying that what does the kikari come to add, that you might think that if I invite you to be the guest, that then you're laughing at it because as a guest, what you're eating is like it's yours, there's right.
It's still in my possession.
You're eating my food, and therefore you're not allowed to eat that.
But you could give it as a gift, and it would work.
But
and
if you're a gift,
that's
you
the way the Ron works, right? The other Rishon, the answer in the end, he's out in the L.A., is come to teach you. Rashi says that's the real case. That's mutar according to Rashi, but matan would still remain asur. And according to the Rosh, it's going to teach you that the only kikar on the table is asur, not all the kikarot in the bayit are asur. But again, a gift would be asur. So the Ran comes to the opposite conclusion. Everybody else, the Ran says in the end, the gift is mutar, and the Gemara is doing bitniyah, giving you cases. One bitniyah gineh, but doesn't make sense. Oh, azamne is the avamina, what kikari takes care of, and matan is okay. According to Rashi and the Rosh, in the end, you can't give the gift, and the Gemara is coming up with the alternative case of what kikari excludes. So according to Rashi, kikari excludes this, you know, meaning that kikari either works to allow me to eat with you, or Rashi says it doesn't allow me to eat.
This is the problem that it works. We make enough situation, we ask the question. It sounds like if we didn't find what kikari goes on, then we would be stuck saying it must be going on the fact that Matan helps.
Right, well, that's the way it's going to work, is you have to interpret the Lashon of the person.
So that's what we see. he's wrong, right? The fact that he says Kikari doesn't add anything.
But he could have said Kikar Zu or Kikar Alecha. The fact that he said Kikari, now we have to understand when she does that, does that have any bearing on the nether?
And the Ron seems to be saying that his use of the term Kikari negates what would be the usual meaning of Alecha.
Right.
And that's why to give them as a gift would work.
Right.
And he didn't say Kikari, he just said Kikar Alecha, giving them a gift wouldn't do anything.
No, everyone
agrees.
Right.
Right, I'm saying, but Ron is actually saying that by saying Kikari,
right.
He is offsetting the usual meaning of the word Alecha.
Which the Gemara, which doesn't fit into the Gemara question, the Gemara said that...
Does not
exist. The Gemara said Alecha...
Right, so that's completely... The question is, Peshitta, the Matana doesn't work, so then it's a question how you read the next two lines of the Gemara. The way the Rani reads the next two lines of the Gemara, you might say rejecting that it's Peshitta. No, it's not Peshitta. I can come up with a case where Kikari can exclude something, and therefore Matana's
wrong with it. And then it all fits in, but it's almost like... He said Kikari, so it must be something.
Okay. The Ron is more logical, but I agree that it doesn't.
Had I read the Gemara simply, I would not read the Gemara like the Ron. I would have read that, even if you read the Neva as a bitmia, I would say that the last line of the Gemara is the answer. That's the case, but Kikari excludes the case of Zamnit.
Right.
And Matana remains a sur. The way the Ron learns is that last case gives you a solution for what Kikari is restricting, and therefore Matana becomes Mutar.
It is because the way the Gemara says it is La Fuke Mai. So, it's kind of going to change something from the usual. Right.
Anyway, well, it was a simple daf, and I told you there's a lot of issues with yourselves, and therefore the daf was difficult for that reason.